Livingston and Evans don't exactly strike the same spark of recognition as Rogers and Hart, Ellington and Strayhorn, Stoller and Lieber, or Gershwin and Gershwin. But Jay Livingston and Ray Evans wrote some of the most popular and persisting tunes in the American songbook for movies, television, and the stage. Jay and Ray, as they were known, won 3 Academy Awards. They wrote a classic about silver bells that's heard every holiday season. They wrote a song about the riddle of Mona Lisa's smile that will probably be sung until the end of time. And they put words into the mouth of a horse. If they're not as well known as some other songwriting duos, well, as one of their own songs puts it, que sera sera. Now Livingston and Evans are getting their tribute. A new recording called Livingston and Evans Songbook, featuring singer, musician, and in this case, musicologist Michael Feinstein on his own Finery recording label. Michael Feinstein and Ray Evans join us from Mr. Feinstein Studios in Los Angeles. Good to have you both with us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So nice to be joined by both of you. And sadly, Jay Livingston died in 2001. But I must say, one of the joys of this recording is being able to hear him interpret his own songs.
A western ranch is just a branch of Nowhere Junction to me. Give me the city where living's pretty and the gals wear finery. East is east and west is west, and the wrong one I have chose. Let's go where you keep on wearing those frills and flowers and buttons and bows, rings and things and buttons and bows.
That was their first Oscar-winning song, Buttons and Bows, from the 1948 movie Paleface that starred Bob Hope and Jane Russell. Mr. Evans?
Yes, sir.
Tell us the story of this song. It's got, I think, one of the great lyrics, "Don't bury me in this prairie, take me where the cement grows." It's our personal credo for some of us, yes.
I'll try to make it as short as possible because we don't want to go on all day, but they needed a song for Bob Hope to sing to Jane Russell. And we had a very creative producer, and he said, "Why don't you write a song about how Bob Hope is a tenderfoot in the West? He hates it, and he wishes he was back in the East where the girls were pretty and there was civilization and society and everything." Now, on the way back from the producer's office to our office on the Paramount lot, which is about a minute or 2 minutes, somehow in my mind, I got the idea of a kind of a rhythm. Let's go where the girls keep wearing those frills and flowers and buttons and bows, rings and things and buttons and bows. The minute we got to our office, James got sat down on the piano and went, da 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 da.
Give me eastern trimming where women are women in high silk hose and peekaboo clothes, French perfume that rocks the room, and you're all mine in buttons and bows.
Michael Feinstein, what appealed to you about their music?
I've loved the songs of Livingston and Evans for as long as I can remember. They are marvelously versatile creators of all kinds of songs. And yet I felt that they had been neglected for the greater part of their catalog. So I approached Jay initially about doing a recording, featuring him at the piano, and he was very excited at the idea. And so we did it because I wanted to preserve the material, and happily Jay and Ray felt that they'd like to hear me sing these songs.
Mr. Evans, who wrote the music? Who wrote the lyrics?
We never took individual credit. I couldn't compose, but Jay was a very, very good musician and could, and we didn't take a separate credit on the lyrics either because he worked on lyrics as much as I did. He may start a line and I'd finish a line or whatever. It was Livingston and Evans as an entity.
Michael Feinstein, I want to get you to tell us why the song we're about to hear from Captain Carey of the USA, for which Livingston and Evans won their second Academy Award, what makes this the great and enduring song that it is?
This song is one that has the same kind of mysterious feeling about it that I think is in the painting of Mona Lisa, in that it's a song of great longing. It's a song of questioning and of yearning. And, of course, Nat Cole's recording of it is supreme. Nat Cole could sing anything for my money and make it sound wonderful. But the short answer to your question is that it's a lyric that is quite unusual for its time.
Do you smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there, and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real, Mona Lisa? Are just a cold and lonely, lovely work of art?
Ray Evans?
Yes, I'm here, Scott.
When you brought the song to Nat King Cole, did he snap it right up and say, boy, this is great?
No, he did not. And he heard the song, and he said, you know, it's nice. Give me a sheet of music, and I'll think about it and see if I want to do it or not. So we had a very obstinate music publisher, worked for Paramount, and he chased Nat for a year and said, Nat, are you going to do my song? Have you done it yet? Nat said, I'm going to do it, but I never want to see you again. You're the biggest pest I've ever met. Anyway, Capitol Records said, this will never sell. Why waste time on it? The next Nat Cole release was going to be what they thought was the biggest hit that Nat had ever done, the greatest inventor of them all. And I think it was about God or something, and didn't mention Mona Lisa as the B-side. Anyway, the record came out. The disc jockeys started to play the Mona Lisa side, and it ended up 20 weeks on the hit parade, and it's become probably our most valuable copyright in our catalog. And that is a story on Mona Lisa, Scott.
Michael Feinstein mentioned the sophistication of your lyricism and your melodies. I guess in a sense for some of us that all came to fruition the day that somebody must have walked into your office and said, boys, we need a song about a talking horse.
Yes, that's right. We were not at Paramount then. We had left Paramount after our 10 years when it's a wonderful studio. And we wrote the song, Mr. Ed, about the talking horse. They said, we'll use your demo for it till we get a good singer to sing it. They never got anybody else, so Jay's demo stayed on the show through all the years it was on, and it's still on. So the voice you'll hear as a singing voice of Mr. Ed is my partner, Jay Livingston, who I wish he were here with me to be part of this interview.
A horse is a horse, of course, of course, and no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ed. Go right to the source and ask the horse, who'll give you the answer that you endorse. He's always on a steady course, talk to Mr. Ed. People yakety yak a streak and waste your time of day. But Mr. Ed will never speak unless he has something to say. A horse is a horse, of course, of course, and this one won't talk to his voice, his horse. You never heard of a talking horse. Well, listen to this.
I am Mr. Ed.
Let me ask finally about Que Sera Sera. Livingston and Evans won their third Oscar for this song from an Alfred Hitchcock film, The Man Who Knew Too Much. Might I ask, Mr. Evans, what were you told about the film? What were you told about the need for a song?
Yeah, well, you know, we were awed working with the legendary Alfred Hitchcock. We had never met him before. And Hitchcock said, I don't know what kind of a song I want, but it's got to be the kind of song that a mother would sing to a little child. The picture takes place in Europe, in North Africa. Jimmy Stewart is a diplomat, and Hitchcock said, I've written it into the plot because it's a part of when the little boy is kidnapped. When Doris Day finally finds him, she finds him by singing the song and hearing him echo her in the distance, and then she knows where he is. But We got the title, Que Sera Sera, and wrote it on that basis. And then we had to play it for Mr. Hitchcock, and he said to us, gentlemen, and Jay could imitate him very well. I can't do that. He said, gentlemen, when I first met you, I didn't know what kind of a song I wanted. That's the kind of a song I wanted. He said, thank you very much. Goodbye. And we never saw him again.
Isn't it true, Ray, that that Doris Day did not like the song?
Yeah, she did it. She thought it was just a song for children and that it would never be a hit. And she did it in one take, you know, said, okay, that's enough of that. And it became her biggest hit.
Well, the other thing is that it became the theme song for her television series later.
So. Yes, that's right. That's
there
probably
we go.
Where I first heard it. Michael Feinstein, would you mind if we played the Doris Day version?
I would be delighted. Doris Day is one of my favorite singers.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera, what will be,
Mr. Evans?
Yes, Scott?
When's the last time you wrote a song?
Oh, my God, you know, I would say really the last time Jay and I really did anything was probably 15, 20. Of course, Jay is no longer with us, so I may try writing a few lyrics every once in a while if anybody asks me, but we got in at the end of the golden era of songwriting in Hollywood, and we were probably the last ones that's been annotated in several books, and so life has been very good, and I bless each moment of it, and I'm so thrilled by the Michael Feinstein CD. This is a wonderful reward for the end of a career.
Gentlemen, thank you both very much for speaking with us.
Thank you. It was a great pleasure.
Thank you so much from Ray Evans.
Ray Evans is half of the songwriting team of Livingston and Evans. Michael Feinstein is Michael Feinstein. And his latest CD is Livingston and Evans Songbook. They joined us from Mr. Feinstein Studios in Los Angeles.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. I have children of my own. They ask me, Papa, what lies ahead? Will there be rainbows day after day? I say what my mother said. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera, what will be, que sera, sera.